Good morning. This is Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, and we will pick up where we left off in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We will start at verse 7, but before we get started, let us pray. Lord, right now we thank you so much for this brand new day. We thank you for the privilege to be called your sons and daughters. We thank you for your word that you teach us from and you guide us from. We just thank you so much simply for who you are. Bless us as we walk through this book, Lord, that you prepare for us at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week in 2 Corinthians 4, we went through verses 1 through 6. So now we're going to pick up at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves." Think about a fragile clay jar. Literally, when you look at the word fragile, it speaks to a weakness. It speaks to a certain delicate texture and existence. So we ourselves are fragile. Remember, the Lord made us out of dust. And if you don't believe that, just look around your house in certain areas that you didn't pay attention to or haven't paid attention to, and look at what's collected on different surfaces. Well, those are dead skin cells. So, you know, we return to, if we were made from dust, as your skin cells die, they become dust because that's what you're made from. So we ourselves are fragile. And, you know, Paul says right here, but we ourselves are like clay, fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Stop and think about that for a second, that God made us out of dust, and we are considered his masterpiece. And we are fragile, we're delicate, you know, we're sensitive at times, and, well, you know, at times we are. But we are fragile, we are dust. But the great treasure is that God gave us his power as his children. And it's not from us, it's from him. So we need to keep that in mind. And Paul understood that because everything that he went through, I mean, he went through a lot. Everything that he went through, he realized that his power was from God. The power that was within him to heal, to make it through the persecution that he would face, the willingness and the strength to speak to people who hated the thought of Jesus, who were so entrenched in traditions and the law that they couldn't embrace how a Savior should go to the cross for such a wicked, fragile people. But he did. And Paul knew that because he had a conversation with Jesus. And he knew that the power that was within him to do any and everything came from his Father in heaven, his elder brother, his comforter, his counselor. And we need to get that. You know, we get so caught up in, you know, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to, as it talks about in Romans 12. But the reality is that we're nothing without the presence of God in our lives. So it's more than just, oh, brother, oh, sister, you need to be saved. It's, hey, you're a fragile, dusty clay pot that's got cracks and creaks all through it, and you need the presence of the Lord in your life. And that's just the reality. So let us embrace that idea that, and the reality of that, we are who we are because of God's power and his presence in us. He makes us worth something. We're priceless to him. And we need to recognize that as his children. Amen? Amen. Verse 8 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Paul had examples of this in his life, literally, where he was beaten, he was tortured, he was in prison, he was shipwrecked. There were times that he didn't eat, drink. There's a bunch of stuff that Paul went through. And Paul went through all of these things to expand the gospel, the good news that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose for our sins. He did all that to spread the gospel. But he didn't say that it was, hey, this has been a smooth road. He didn't say that, hey, it's all good, you know, everything. He said, hey, we are pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. No matter what you do or what you think, the Lord is not going to leave you. He's never going to turn his back on you or forsake you, period. The reality is that you belong to him. So no matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing, you're never alone. No, never alone. So, and we need to get past the fact that, oh yeah, we are dusty. No, we need to embrace that we are God's sons. We are God's daughters. We're going to go through things. Jesus said that we will face trials and tribulations in this life. But he also said greater things that you will do in this life. How many of you have prayed for folks and they've gotten better? How many of you have laid hands on people and they were delivered? How many of you just said, Lord, hold my hand as I go through this, and he brought you through? I can say yes to all of those because of the power of the Lord, the one living true God that resides in me. I understand that you're going to go through things in this life. You're going to be pressed, but you won't be crushed. You're going to be perplexed, but you won't fall into despair. You will be hunted down, but you will never be abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. We get back up, and we stay in the fight. You know, after so many times of the enemy knocking you down and you popping back up, he knocks you down and you pop back up, he knocks you down and you pop back up, after a while, the enemy is going to kind of back off and say, I can't beat this one like that, so I got to try something different. But we have to not run off and be scared. We have to embrace the fact that God resides inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Paul understood that. I understand that. The Lord has never turned his back on me. He's always been there to say, get back up, son. Put your dukes up. Like Pop said on Friday, you live to fight another day. And we do. As long as the Lord gives us the time, he's going to give us the provision. He's going to give us the energy to make it through the day and to stay in the fight. Amen? Amen. Verse 10 says, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. That just felt good reading, so I got to do it one more time. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. The life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Your biggest testimony to anyone is how you live. And I'll take it a step further, how you face adversity and go through it. We're going to suffer certain things. We are. But think about what Jesus did for you. I can't imagine being that stressed out. I can't imagine being that beat down that people don't even recognize me. I honestly can't imagine that. And going through that willingly for something that I didn't do. Jesus suffered for you. Take it personal. So that you wouldn't have to suffer eternally in hell. Sometimes we need to keep that in mind. Sometimes we need to reflect on what Jesus did for us in terms of suffering. Because let's be honest, the stuff that we go through pales in comparison to what Jesus went through for us. Suffering that we go through is self-induced because we brought that upon ourselves. We ate too much buttery, salty popcorn and ran our blood pressure up. Now we got a headache that we can't get rid of. We partied too long and stayed with old girl too long and then made a baby we couldn't afford to take care of. So the courts had to step in. We drank too much and we smoked too much. And we stopped going to work. And then we wonder why we got money problems and health problems. Because we snorted too much powder or smoked too much weed or drank too much liquor. Suffering I'm talking about, because that's what we brought upon ourselves. I'm talking about suffering for when you do the right thing. Like when Dr. King got hit upside the head with nightsticks and got in prison for rights of folks. See, a lot of us haven't suffered like that. We haven't stepped out and suffered for the sake of others to spread God's word, to expand God's kingdom. That's suffering for a cause. And that's what this is explaining right here. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. To be uncomfortable and to lose sleep, and to pour out a lot of energy that you, even when you're tired, because of what Jesus did for you. And to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies as we embrace his life, his suffering, and his resurrection. So that people see Jesus in you. It didn't feel good to go through things that were difficult, that weren't self-induced. Like, you know, being, I always go back to my wilderness experience for almost 2 years. And people would come along, like Mother Lisa Cowan, who I miss, come along and be like, man, you still smiling. No matter what you go through, you still yourself. You ain't walk around here ashy, looking pitiful. And I'll be like, thank you, mother, you know. But I knew that just like the Lord brought me to it, he would bring me through it. And that if I can help somebody, that my positive attitude, even though I feel like it's hell on earth, like nothing can't be right, I'm going to still smile and still suffer through because I know the Lord has been good to me and he continues to be good to me. And we need to embrace that, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. Verse 11 says, yes, We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. The enemy is not happy with us being on the winning team and him being on the losing team. Enemy is going to continue to attack, whether it's by people, whether it's by circumstances, whether it's by his demons, he's going to continue to attack. But we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. Paul understood that. We need to understand that. But we also need to understand that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies, because our bodies are dying. They're getting older. Again, I was just saying about these dusty, you know, bodies that are fragile, that are sensitive, and we literally lose skin every day. Dead skin cells equals dust. We're made of dust. So we need to understand that our bodies are dying anyway. But we're on our way to glory. So you want to run this race, and you want to finish up strong, because a lot of us have been in this race for decades, and we haven't been doing what we've been called to do in terms of spreading the gospel and expanding God's kingdom. That's the reality. Now is the time. Our bodies are dying, but we want Jesus's life to be evident in how we live, how we speak, how we think, who we are. No matter what you think, your identity, if you're God's son or daughter, your identity is already wrapped up in Jesus. So embrace your natural position. Embrace your design. Because the Lord knew before you were conceived that you would be saved. So quit trying to hang on to dying bodies. What's more important is I want people to see Jesus in me. Amen? Amen. Verse 12 says, so we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. See, one thing about this time that we have on earth in these dusty, fragile bodies is that it's going to come to an end. We've seen it daily. The finish line and their dusty bodies are empty. But what's more important than your dusty body is what's inside, the contents. The fact that your eternal spirit, for saved folk, for God's sons and daughters, for those who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Our reality is eternal life. So we never stop existing, living. And even while you're here, the Lord gave you today to live, not to just exist, but to live, to tell somebody about Jesus, to live for Jesus, so that people can see Jesus' life in you. Some of us, the way we speak and act and treat people, they would think, that's the devil over there. I don't want to be bothered with them. Put that to the side. You don't have to get people told. It's not your job to get people right. It's your job to lead people to Jesus and to exhibit Jesus' presence in your life. Period. We got the easy part. Care the rest. Amen? Amen. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. I'm so glad that my ticket is punched and I'm on my way to glory. But until I get there, I'm going to stop on by and tell people about Jesus. And I'm going to try daily throughout the day to exhibit Jesus' presence in my life. Amen? Amen. First, because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Not I preach because I'm trying to get a Cadillac. I preach because I want my pockets, Father, and I want you to send me a love offering for this blessed water that I bought at Walmart and changed the label. Not because of that. But we preach because we have the same kind of faith, because we believe in God, so we spoke. What you believe in, what you're really passionate about, you'll talk about it. You'll be about it in terms of what you believe. And when you feel certain about a thing, you exhibit behaviors and speech that reflect what you believe and how you feel. So again, going back to trying to get people told or get people right, that's not your job. Cussing somebody out is not going to help them. Yelling and arguing with folks is not going to help. The word talks about not quarreling with people, not arguing and fussing. But to preach, to tell somebody about the good news, the gospel, that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose for your sins. Take it personal and realize that. And continue to love on folks. That's why we preach. And by the way, to tell somebody about Jesus, you don't have to have the title pastor or preacher or minister. Your title could be follower of Christ, Christian. Jesus is my big brother, and I want to tell you about how good he is and what he's done for me and you. And that's based upon what you believe. So you just speak it, but you live it. You do it. You embody it. People need to see Jesus in us. We shouldn't be trying to fit in with this world. Paul stuck out. He didn't fit in. He knew that all that I am is because of God's presence in my life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's just the simple part that we have. Be a witness. Tell somebody about Jesus. If Jesus tells you, hey, pray for such and such, pray for him, don't think about it. Stop what you're doing. If he says, lay hands on such and such, don't think about it. Stop what you're doing and do it. Execute. Time ain't long, brothers and sisters. There's a reason for everything. And God's timing is always on time, and it's always perfect. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to pick up next week at verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jonathan. Just some of the important points that you mentioned, how to live and seeing Jesus in us, because people are watching us. It's a very, very good lesson. And we're just going to tune in next week and just look forward to more of this good lesson. Thank you, and we appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day. All right. We are going to continue with our service and continue celebrating our 18th church anniversary with Runner for Christ Ministries. And they have truly been a blessing in my spiritual growth. They teach you and you learn to do. All right. So we're going to start out with the song and just congratulations. Runner for Christ Ministries, for those 18 years that you have given us. It has truly been a blessing.
Amen, amen. And we thank God for everybody, and we thank God for Cassie down there in the palm trees hanging out in Texas. We appreciate you. Still on the job, though. Amen. And we appreciate you for that. Hope y'all down there having fun.
Yes, sir. It's beautiful at the lake.
All right, now. Amen. Yeah. They brought the church to the lake. Amen. I want to thank God for Pastor Jonathan Tate and the work that he just did on 2 Corinthians. You know, it brought to mind what Dr. Tony Evans says, and I want y'all to repeat after me, and we can kind of sum up what he said today because it was awesome. Say, Jesus, I want you to make me a visible, verbal manifestation, Jesus Christ, on earth. Amen. That's what God wants us to be. Amen. He wants us to be visible. He wants us to be verbal. Amen. That manifestation of Jesus, God's will on earth. Amen. Just like it is in heaven. Amen. Let's go.
I know it's gonna be all right. Listen if you will. Yeah.
It's working for my good.
Hey,
even though I ain't,
it's gonna be all right. Say it again.
It's working for my good.
Gotta do for amazing grace. You kept on covering me in the midst of all my wrong. You stay right by my side. Your love was my guide. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's working for my good.
Gotta do what I could.
Gotta do what I could.
Even though I ain't what I should.
You made
it all.
I don't do what I used to do. Since he made my life brand new, he changed all my wrongs and gave me a brand new start. That's why I depend on you, 'cause I know you can see me through. And you never left me lonely. I know. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, I gotta do what I could, even though I ain't.
Oh,
Amen, amen. The good news is he won't stop loving us. You know, sometimes we think that God stopped loving us. We could feel like Job. We could know that we've done everything that we knew to do that the Lord said do. And then all of a sudden, the devil broke loose and going crazy in our lives. But that's what Job didn't know, that we do know that the devil broke loose and was going crazy in his life. But we learned this morning that no matter what happens to us, we might be pressed down, okay, but we're not in despair. We might be kind of wondering, but we ain't perplexed, amen. We know that whatever is going on, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that all things, amen. Joseph learned that a long time ago in the Old Testament. He told his brothers when he could have wrecked them, he told his brothers, look, y'all meant this for evil, for real. But God re-meant it for good, and many lives are saved. What I'm trying to tell you is no matter what you've been going through or what you're currently going through or what you might be getting ready to go into, God getting ready to make it work for your good. You might not be able to see it. You might not even feel it. Amen. You might not even think it's true. But guess what? It's working out for you.
I need somebody to prophesy with your body language. Just say, Don't prophesy. I said he can't live. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You got to say it, say it. In my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed. For grace. For favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all.
To be what I have sown.
Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
All right, our season for grace and mercy. Our pastor was on the road this morning. That's why he our fearless leader. All right. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service and celebrating Runner for Christ 18th church anniversary. 18 years, a true blessing. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. I will be reading for your hearing scripture from Romans 12, 1 through 13. That's Romans 12, 1 through 13. It is titled, A Living Sacrifice to God. Here reads the Word of God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we are all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving generously, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So rich. I love to read that verse, that scripture. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers lifted up to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick, the shut-in, and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. And then, Lord God, we ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Lord, we are so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord and we have prayed, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel when his stripes say I am healed.
Amen. When we became Christians, it became ours. You know, I used to ask the Lord all the time for $1 million. And after about 16 years of doing that and going through some fun with him, one day he let me discover something, that I was asking beneath what I already have. Because Jesus is mine, because Jesus is yours, he's ours. Romans 8 and 17 talks about that we are heirs of God. Notice the words here. We are heirs of God, present tense right now. And present tense right now, joint heirs with Christ. Amen? And so through Christ, God has given us everything. You heard Pastor Jonathan Tate talk about it. Jesus got all power. And guess what? In heaven and earth. And guess who he working through in the earth? So guess what's inside of us? That power he was talking about? Oh, you need to go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 or go back and listen to the lesson again. Amen? But you know what? When I think about all of the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us, just because he wants to, ain't it wonderful we don't have to deserve this, earn this, work for this? Because we couldn't get it if we did. Amen. But it just leaves you saying, like, well, ain't that just like God?
Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts truly have been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear from her hospital bed is our very own Dr. Nico Gaston, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Nico Gaston. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down. Yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sins.
You paid it all.
I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord, for strength. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners. So let us go boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Father God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Thank you for waking us up this morning and breathing life into our bodies. Thank you for delivering us from our sins and from ourselves. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and called us to intercede for others. Father God, we have been consumed with seeing so much death by COVID and even death by the hands of the police. While reflecting on those deaths, may we never forget the death that paid it all for us, your precious Son, Christ Jesus, who went willingly to the cross for us. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, you said, we did not choose you. You chose us. You appointed us to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give us whatever we ask for in your name. Lord, you said we can ask for anything in your name and you will do it so that you, Lord, will bring glory to the Father. So on today, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask for grace. We also ask for love and peace to fill the hearts of mankind. We ask for leadership on every level to rise and walk in godliness instead of pride. Lord, we know your unfailing love never ends. By your mercy, we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new each day. Lord, you are our inheritance. Therefore, we will hope in you. Blog Talk listeners, hear the Lord's voice, harden not your heart, and understand today is the day of salvation. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We know that it is not the will of the Lord for any to perish and all should come to repentance. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I say to all, the Lord is our inheritance. Therefore, put your hope in him. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Lord, you said confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Lord, help us all to devote ourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Lord, you are close to all who call on you. Yes, to all who call on you in truth. Lord, we call on you as we surrender all. It is time to let go and let you, Father God, have your way in our lives. Therefore, we pray to you, Lord, our Father in heaven. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Therefore, Father God, we ask that you save, deliver, and set free all on today. Lord, you are God, our Savior. And in you, we place our hope in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the worrying,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things start happening.
Stop looking at back then.
When I let go,
I let go.
When I let God,
let
him
have
his way. There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in your head, everything will be alright.
Yeah.
Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God. Oh, let go and let God.
Let go,
he's the only one with the answer.
Let go,
just let God.
Amen. Let go and let God. Thank Augustine for making our request known to God, and we are surely praying for you as well. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. And I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. The best part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this selection is our very own man of God, Jonathan Tate, Associate Pastor. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
My heart started pounding as I listened to what I was saying. Cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall
what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, he'll deliver us from them all. My trust still lies in you. I know you're gonna bring me through, through this trial, but I'm not in denial. I know it's gonna get hard sometimes. And when those moments come, I'll rest within your arms and give you praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up my praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praising. Book of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise him along the way to my breakthrough.
I trust.
Thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for this awesome service. We thank you for 18 years of running for Christ Ministries, Lord. We thank you for the vision and the work and the obedience of Pastor O and Sheila. We thank you, Lord, for where you brought us from and where you're taking us to and where you have us now. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. The word that the Lord provided was 1 John chapter 2, and we will be reading verses 21 through 29. And again, I want to say happy anniversary to each and every member, partner, trustee, friend of Running for Christ Ministries, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. And I'm so thankful for Pastor O and for Sheila for what they've sacrificed and what they've done and their obedience to the Lord. I remember when things were getting started at the Beechwood Center in River Rouge, Michigan, and to see the growth of each and every member and Pastor O and Sheila and, you know, everyone that's been attached to this ministry, even the audience of Blog Talk Radio, I'm truly thankful to be a part of it, and I consider it a privilege and an honor. And I'm thankful to the Lord for each and every one of you. Amen. Verse 21, 1 John chapter 2, and I will be reading out of the New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 says, "So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy eternal life he promised us. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Let's bring our focus to verse 24. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. The beautiful thing that people struggle with is the three persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. They have different characteristics, but they're one. They do different things, but they are one. We need to realize that and embrace that. And they are not apart from one another. Again, they are one. So verse 24 says again, "So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father." We don't have to get that twisted. We've had several examples in the Bible and in our personal lives of people who have shown to be faithful. I'm going to put Pastor O on the spot, because for the past 18 years, and even before this, before Running for Christ Ministries came to be, he had to exercise faith in what the Lord showed him. And he had to not only just think about it and talk about it, he had to act on that. And that's what we have to do as God's children. We have to know that what we've been taught what we read is true. Not because someone puts their own personal twist on it, not because someone shares their opinion of God's word is. God's word is what it is. God's word is true. God doesn't change. We do. We change like Michigan weather at any given point of time. We do. 1 minute it's freezing, the next minute it's 80 degrees. 1 minute the sun is shining, the next minute we in a snowstorm. So we have to remain faithful to what we've known and what we've been taught from the beginning. And the second part of that verse says, if you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. When you have fellowship with someone, you communicate with them and you allow them to communicate with you. You hang out with them and you allow them to hang out with you. It's a give and take. It's a back and forth. It's something that should become natural for us as God's children. A lot of us have been saved for decades, but we don't take time to fellowship with the Lord. We don't take time to know that what we've been taught is true. There are a lot of different doctrines in the world, and a lot of it is based upon what people think. Don't complicate things. Things more difficult than they are. Because some stuff is just what it is. You can step outside and stand in the sun and realize the sun provides heat. The sun provides light. You don't have to argue with someone that wants to tell you the contrary because you know what's true. You know what you've been taught. And another big teacher for us is our experience. See, the Lord allows you to have experiences, both good and bad, hoping that you will learn from them. So we don't have to question God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They exist as the Holy Trinity. They're one. They have different things that they do, different characteristics, but they are one. And if you have trouble thinking about that, think about your family. Think about how we share the same blood, the same tendencies, the same attitudes, but we're different, but we're still family. Amen? Amen. Verse 25 says, and in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. Think it's sad that we live pitiful lives here because we don't consider what's to come. We should be excited about eternal life. We should be excited that we have it as a promise to us, and it's secure in us. So why won't we tell people about Jesus and what he's done for us? Why won't we tell people about how we're united with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, even though what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve divided us? But because of what Jesus did on the cross and the power he exercised over the grave and his resurrection, that we have eternal life. I'm excited about what's to come, but I'm also excited about today because it's a brand new day that the Lord blessed me with. And it's a brand new opportunity that he gave me to live a life pleasing to him here on earth. Am I perfect? No. Am I going to always get it right? No. But I know and realize the promise of eternal life. And it's not just in heaven, it's here too, because it's inside of me. God's very presence in the form of the Holy Spirit resides in me. So I already have eternal life in me. So my life as I know it won't end. My life is enhanced because of God's presence in me. So if you're excited about your promise of eternal life, you should want others to be able to experience that. I look forward to getting on the Glory and seeing people that I haven't seen and meeting people I've never met in Glory. But while I'm here, I need to make sure other people punch their tickets that they can get the promise of eternal life versus eternal death. Because God is very simple. He's very concrete, very solid in it's either life or death. So think about that, children of God. If you've been promised eternal life, which we have, then we need to embrace that ideology and share it so that others can get the same benefits of eternal life, even here on earth. Quit looking at your circumstances thinking, oh, the Lord don't care about me or the Lord is ignoring me. He promised you eternal life. What more does God have to do for us? He blessed you with some oxygen today. He gave you a brand new day, a brand new start. So let's embrace that. Amen? Amen. Verse 26 says, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need to teach. You don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. We know what the truth is. I don't understand why God's children, followers of Christ, Christians, won't stand up and tell the truth. We're so busy trying to fit in with the world. Let me give you this news flash. We will never fit in with the world, period. We're a peculiar people. We're sanctified, which means we're separated from the world. We're special and we're sacred as God's masterpiece in the world. So we won't fit what the world says about any and everything. We don't fit. So stop trying. The truth is what it is. You can look in your history books. You can check the Google and read about Jesus. Even if you don't want to crack a Bible, Jesus lived. Jesus suffered the worst punishment known to man in the form of crucifixion. And Jesus rose from the grave and left the empty tomb for you. For me, for everybody, to pay for our sins, past, present, and future. We know that to be the truth. You don't have to take my word for it. Do your own research. I'm a nerd. I do research for fun. So, you know, I've had to read and pay attention to certain things and do my own research over the years as well. I've been saved since October 31st of 1987, so I have 30 years plus of walking with the Lord. I know what the truth is. I take opportunities to tell people about Jesus and to share my story and allow people in my business. Even though I'm a private person, this whole thing with the Lord, he wants us to be transparent so that we share our stories so that people have their breakthroughs and get through things upon our examples. It's not just about you going through your stuff and feeling pitiful and going through a thing. It's about what we do for the Lord. And if that means allowing people into your business and telling them the truth, even the ugly parts about what you've gone through, guess what? Do so. We don't need anybody to tell us anything different from God's word, because that's the truth. And God's very presence inside of you, the Holy Spirit, has taught you and will continue to teach you the truth. Because the reality is we want the fellowship with our elder brother, Christ Jesus, as he goes to bat for us and providing intercession to the Father on our behalf. because, again, we're bad kids. We cut up. We need guidance. So that's why you have the Spirit within us, God, the Holy Spirit. Then you have God, the Son, Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who intercedes for us, who goes to bat for us, so that God the Father can say, that's my son, that's my daughter, not guilty. Because remember, Jesus paid it all for us, past, present, and future. So he's constantly going to bat, and the Father is saying, not guilty, not guilty, because all he sees is you being covered by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Amen? Amen. So let's fellowship with Christ as we tell the truth, as taught by the Holy Spirit. It's right here in God's word. And tell your story. Share the ugly parts so that people get the truth, not the cotton candy version, not the lies that the world will have you believe, because the world will have you believe that right is wrong and wrong is right. I was born a man, but I was supposed to be a woman. So basically, God made a mistake. The perfect, all-living, almighty God made a mistake. No, let's tell the truth. That's your personal truth. Say that. This is my truth. This is my opinion. But don't try to mix it with the truth of God's word and the reality of God's ordinances. Amen? Amen. And verse 28 says, and now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. He's on his way back. We don't know the time. We don't know the date. We don't know the hour, any of that. Actually, Jesus said it in the Bible, only the Father knows. So when the Father says, hey, Jesus, go back and get my children, it's going to happen. And let me remind you that that can happen any given day. So we should pay attention to how we live, how we think, how we speak. We should have the urgency to tell people about Jesus because his return is imminent. And you don't want to get caught slipping or literally with your pants down, bold. You want to embrace moving forward, going on to glory, because his return is, it can happen at any moment. And we want to be full of courage and remain in fellowship so that we can be full of courage, remain in fellowship with Christ so that we can be full of courage. So when he returns, we can have our bags packed figuratively and say, I'm ready to go. I'm with you. I've been waiting on you. You know how we get when we got a trip coming up. We pack our bags, we lay our outfits out, and we're ready to go. Get on that bird or that train or that car and to beat it out of town. Confident when it comes to stuff like that, but we're not confident about Christ's return. And it's amazing to me that people don't want to leave this earth. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to leave, whether it's by the rapture or by the funeral home. I'm ready. My bags were packed when I got saved. And that's the reality. But while I'm here, I need to be about my Father's business, which is leading people, planting the seed, so that folks get saved, so that when Christ returns, they're not shrinking back. They're full of courage because of their fellowship, because they are saved, they can hang out with Jesus. And God's very presence in the Holy Spirit is within them. So they're confident. They're eagerly awaiting his return. But while we're here, we need to prepare for his return and gather as many people as we can so that they can be saved and have eternal life with us. That's why Runner for Christ was formed, to teach, to learn, and to do, not just to play church and kick it and hang out and have 9 different programs and be at church all day Sunday and Saturday. It's about us doing the Lord's work, our Father's business. And we got the easy part, which is just planting the seed. He'll grow it up. He'll mature that plant. He'll harvest the crops. But not least, verse 29 says, since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. Let me read that again, because I can feel people pausing. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. We're already made right by God's very presence in us once we got saved. So you have confidence in that, that we are already God's children by way of being saved because of what Jesus did for us. So we're saved. But it's not just enough to be saved. Love is action. God first loved us, and he demonstrated his love. Meeting with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, even though they're one, and Jesus decided to go to the cross for us because he knew. Remember, God is not surprised by anything. He knows everything. So they had a meeting before time and realized that, you know, Adam and Eve gonna mess this up for them. So they're gonna need a savior. They're gonna need a scapegoat to pay for all of their sins. So I'm gonna go be born of a woman in a barn for them. I'm gonna be ridiculed. I'm gonna be, you know, folks being disrespectful to me. I'm going to live homeless, and I'm going to spread the word, and I'm going to live a life without sin, and I'm going to be tempted, and I'm going to be punished, and I'm going to receive the worst punishment ever known to man. He was punished physically, mentally, and spiritually for you. For you to be called God's son or daughter. And he lived that life, and he went through all of those things so stressed out before he was crucified that he sweat blood for you. Beaten beyond recognition, publicly humiliated, and he did nothing wrong, but he had to do so to pay for your sins. If you believe that, that's half of it. The other part is invitation, inviting Jesus into your heart and life. Because historically, you could do your research, like I said earlier, and find out all of that Jesus went through and done, has done for you. And take it personal. I'm saying for you. If you believe that, the other part is invitation. And you can repeat after me because only you know if you genuinely believe that. If you believe that, all you have to do is say, repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you lived, died, and rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins. I invite you personally to come into my heart and life so that I can have an intimate relationship with you and spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. If you believed and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. You have the promise of eternal life. You're God's son or daughter. You can fellowship with Christ, and you have the God's very presence living inside of you because you invited him in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. After that, you attach yourself to a good Bible-based church. That's the truth, the Bible, God's word. And we invite you to attach to Running for Christ Ministries through Blog Talk Radio. Or no matter where you are in the world, just plug in with a good Bible-based church or organization, a good body of believers, where you can learn to spread the truth through God's word. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the promise of eternal life, and we thank you for the truth. Help us to spread the truth as your children and to take full courage, knowing that you will return at any given moment and we will be ready for you to return. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to be about our Father's business so that we can attract more sons and daughters into our family of eternal life, of love and grace and salvation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate the word. And again, the same thing comes back, a living, visible, verbal manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth. And one of the powerful things is that fellowship. We have fellowship with him. Of course, we can kind of mess that up, but then we go back to chapter 1. And we fix that thing up with 8 through 9. We recognize that he's right, we're wrong, we agree with him, he forgives us, then works to clean up our mess. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Hold on. We're going to need some closing words.
All right.
How you like that double duty?
That, boss.
Hey, man, Pastor doing double duty today. He had to teach and preach at the same, you know, the same day. And let me tell you something, trying to keep two messages apart is like trying to keep two kids, amen, from getting at each other. But anyway, we thank God for him, and we thank God for you. We're going to listen to this song, and on the other side, well, we're going to take care of some more business. Amen, amen. God says it like this over there in Matthew 25 and 41, that God created hell for the devil and his angels. That's not a place for you. Amen. But Jesus said over in John chapter 14, verse 2, that he was going away to prepare a place for you. And he was coming back to receive you unto himself so that you could be with him where he is for. Amen. Again, I want to thank the preacher. Running for Christ is all about that message that the preacher preached. We're all about teaching, learning, and doing. And I remember back to 2002 when Jesus called me at the drag strip skipping church to do this. And we went through it for 6 months from June of 2002 to December 29, 2002 when I left my former church, First Baptist Church, E-Course, which is still my home church. Amen. My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., still my pastor. Amen. But that's when God called me out. And he told me that I could make my wife join. That if he used that to teach me, to show me that if this is me, then people are going to come. People will come. You won't have to go get them. You won't have to go find them. I will bring them like he brought 605,000 people to David's side. Amen. He said he would bring people. So I was afraid. I was nervous. I was scared. I cried a lot. I prayed all the time. I cried more and tried to get out of it every which way. For the first 3 months of 2003, we were a ministry. You heard Pastor Jonathan talking about Beachwood Center. That was supposed to be a church, but I flipped it over to ministry and giving away stuff because I didn't want to be no pastor because I figured I'd mess it up, and the next thing you know, I'm like Saul. I'm tore up from the floor. So I didn't want to be a pastor, so I tried to offer up to God like Abraham tried to offer God Ishmael because he was there. Amen. I tried to offer God Running for Christ ministry, not streets, just not church either, just ministry. But the Lord wanted a church, and it was Pastor Alex Hill who did it to me. You know, the Lord, he had him, just my wife and I was out. And next thing I know, we're looking at his wife. She always smiling. She got that infectious smile. And, you know, she said hi, and my wife said hi because it was on that side. And he leaned forward and looked straight over at me and said, "It is what it is." And then he leaned back and drove off. I knew right there what he was. I knew what he was talking about. He knew I knew. Running for Christ was a church, not a ministry. And not a Red Cross, not a Salvation Army, or a Bondage Breaker, or a First Fruit Living Ministry. It was, amen, it was a church. And so, 2003, we had our first church service. And I got mad at the Lord that day because we had built up, and I was expecting at least 3,000 people to show up, and none showed up. So, zero. So I went in the back room. I didn't want my wife to see me. I went in the back room there and closed the door, and I started to do like Moses did God after he told Pharaoh to let people go, and Pharaoh told him, go make some bricks out of straw with no straw. And so I felt like I did everything the Lord told me to do, and it wasn't working. And so I went in there to let him know that and let Jesus know, you didn't make me look real crazy. I'm already crazy. People think I'm crazy. And now here I am real crazy. I done went real crazy. And so after I got through letting Jesus know how disappointed I was that he didn't come through, I came out of the room and about 25 people was there. Yeah. I had to go back in the room and, Jesus, you know me, you know, that kind of thing. You know, don't you hate it when you get mad, upset, tripped out, stressed out because God didn't come through when you thought he should, and then he come through better than you thought he would, and now you feel like, oh, Jesus, about that thing. That's the way I felt. Amen. But anyway, from that day to this day, you know, for the first year or so, though, my wife and I were footing it. We were taking money from our business and our life and putting it into Running for Christ because we didn't have that many members to, you know, pay the bills. And so we were just putting the money from the business in it. And you don't know how mad I got when people came up to me and said, you built that church so you could take the money from it and support your business. My business started in 1992. The church started in 2003. That was a whack plan if that was the plan. Amen. So the church was getting money from the business until we had about 2 weeks of living left. And we had to make a choice. Is this church, oh yeah, my wife finally did join. Is this church going to keep going, or are we going to keep going, lose the business, the home and everything, or do we keep the church? Well, we decided to just keep going. And then my wife's hairdresser handed her an envelope with some money in it. That paid the rent for about 5 weeks. At that time, you could do that. And then they in heaven now, so I can use their names. Willie and Sharon Talbert came by and dropped money in the, and my brother Richard, Minister Richard overall, he came by. And all of them said, Jesus said, get us to you. Now get this, none of them have ever been members of Running for Christ. Okay? But God used people who weren't members of Running for Christ to finance it. And then after a time, the Lord started sending people, Sharon Abraham, Jonathan. Jonathan is the first male member. Charlene was the first female member. So we started out, the first member, male member was black. The first female member was white. So it was what the Lord said it would be, not a black church. That's a whole nother sermon, though. But anyway, from there, we just marched on, you know, and then the preacher started coming in, and the Lord said he would send people to help me, and I'm telling you, I want to thank all of the preaching staff, my assistant pastor, Janice Tate, a man who for a long time, until I retired in 2017, the Lord used her to do all the major teaching at Running for Christ, because my job was so involved, you know, I had to deal with Department of Agriculture, both federal and state, and I had to deal with 640 laws that regulated the business and then the business itself, and then, you know, so it was a lot, and trying to pastor, preach, and teach. And so she did a whole lot of teaching, so I thank God for her. She carried us for a long time, her and Latrice Jackson, Deacon Charles Tate, Jonathan before he became a preacher and after he became a preacher, you know, and Jesus just started sending people. So I thank God for all of the preachers, all the associate pastors, Pastor Jonathan, of course. I already mentioned Pastor Tate, Pastor Terrence Tate, who's been holding down Blog Talk Radio since 2009. He's been the first Saturday preacher since 2009 without fail. And anytime I need him on a Sunday, he's there. You can call him up, say you need to pray. He'd do that. That's my guy right there. Amen. Pastor Terrence Tate, and then there's Pastor John McFaul. He is the one who hooked me up with Blog Talk Radio. If it wasn't for him, I don't know who Jesus would have got, but he got him. And that's the reason we're on Blog Talk Radio. And I also want to thank God for Pastor Janine Folks. Amen. You heard her preach here yesterday, drove everybody nuts. Amen. Made us act all outside church. We just wasn't even churchy. Amen. No more. Amen. And I want to thank Pastor Keith Butler for loaning us from Word of Faith International, my brother, Minister Richard Overall. See, I can't have you preach at Running for Christ if your pastor is not for that. Okay. But he was for it. He loaned him out to us. He preached with us on the four Saturdays, I believe. But he was just too full. I mean, this boy was like trying to fit Niagara Falls into Pepper Creek. It wasn't working. So what we did was he got Tuesday now, and he has training day. That's what we call it. That's what he calls it. Amen. And so I thank God for him. Amen. I thank God for our deacon and deaconess ministries, Deacon Charles Tate, chairman of the deacon's ministry, been at Running for Christ since the day he got out of jail. Yep, Pastor Jonathan Tate went and picked him up in jail. He came to Running for Christ, been there ever since. Ended up being chairman of the deacon board. Amen. My number one guy. We talk all day, every day. Jesus said we crazy. But anyway, thank God for assistant to the chair, Charles Mackey. amen, and all the rest of the Deacon Board, y'all know who y'all are before I forget names, amen. I want to thank God for our executive board, our deaconess board, chairperson being Elitris Cowan, my sister from another mother, amen. I had to treat her right or she'll call her mother back from heaven or her mother be pinching me. So anyway, Elitris Cowan. And Carmen Abraham, the one who inspired me to write my Christian history book because she taught me how to teach. Amen. I want to thank God for Sharon Abraham. She has been my counselor for a long time. And not only that, but she's the president of the executive board. And she's also the CFO, the chief finance officer. Amen. You know, I once heard a pastor say, nothing can happen here unless it comes through me. Ain't nothing happening financially at Run for Christ unless Sharon Abraham say, okay. Amen. So they run the, and all the finance committee, that's a executive board. I can name them. My wife serves on the executive board as finance secretary, but she's also the church administrator. So she's over and under at the same time. Amen. There's a Beatrice Cowan. I just like to say that's my little do everything. Amen, because that's the one you go talk to if you're a woman and you need some help. She hook you up. Amen. She'll take it to the board for you. And if the board agree, then she'll hook you up. And then there's Dr. Nico Gaston, who you heard from her hospital bed doing altar call. Lord, have mercy if that girl ain't got faith. Amen. And then there's also my daughter, who you don't hear a lot about, but she became a lawyer. And so guess what? We get free legal counsel, kind of. Amen. Praise God for my daughter, Dion Clarissa Patillo. Amen. She's going to kill me, said her whole name like that. So thank God for all the executive board, the directors. They take care of the business side of the church, all of the awesome members and partners and the mothers on the move. These are mothers on the move. They, you know, they kind of don't look like mothers because they look like they, you know, young, but they mothers, okay? And they just keep moving for Jesus. So we thank God for all of them. And I cannot thank God enough for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. She is the one. That helped me. I have this horrible fear of talking in front of people. Even on the radio, it still happened. But one day she said to me, after 8 months of not doing anything, I went from January to August before I did the first show. And it was her who told me, "No, people can't see you. You could be on there and pajamas." Somehow that worked. And I've been here ever since. And I can't thank my girl Crystal enough. Y'all know us. Amen. And before I get too emotional, I'm going to bring her in. But her her mother, I'm telling you, and her, they were the most faithful. And Mother Phillips, we're the most faithful Blog Talk listeners every single day since 2009. I used to ask Jesus, how could she listen to me like this every day and all this fussing? And she heard shows that got canceled, shows that got eliminated, thousands of them. And you wonder how she got like she is today. I mean, you sit and listen to all of that, you got a whole lot packed up inside you. So I just want to say I thank God for 18 years of having all of these awesome folks at Running for Christ Ministries. And Running for Christ Ministries is what it is because of all of us and what Jesus is doing through all of us. It's not about a pastor-driven church. But like Rick Warren says, and I studied his book back in 2002, my wife picked it up for me. It's purpose-driven church. And in the model that we use to administrate our church comes out of that book. And I want to take Pastor Hill for a class I took over at his church administration. And Christian doctrine and Christian history. And so that began my path to being a writer of sorts. So anyway, I thank God for each and every one of y'all. Everybody at Running for Christ Ministries, it is because we are. And we are because Jesus is. Amen, Crystal. There you go.
Amen. 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 I love hearing the history of Running for Christ Ministries because I was not there from the beginning. I did not come until, I want to say it was May of 2009. I remember Maureen Tate, bless her heart, she's in heaven now, but I remember she came up to my job and one of my coworkers came and said, Crump, somebody is out there for you. I'm like, I don't have no appointments. What you mean? She's like, she said she want to talk to you. Go out there and see. I'm like, who is out here for me? And I go out there, and it's Maureen. And I'm talking to her, and she slapped this flyer down. I remember I still see it. It's like, it was like blue, and it had like clouds on it, and it had writing on it. And she was like, you need to come to church.
That was it.
You need to come to church. And I'll never forget when she slapped that thing on the table. She was like, you need to come. You need to come. I was like, oh, Lord, I am not about going to no new church where you got to stand up and say where you came from, where you're going, where you've been, and then people judging you. And then you get somewhere and they don't make you feel like family. They all in your business. They standing to the side. People let you walk in and out the door. They don't speak to you. You know, nobody really wants that feeling. And I'm like, she was like, look, we ain't like that. I said, well, you saying that because you want me to come. I'm not. I'm like, okay. She's like, if you don't take anybody who know Maureen, she's like, you better take this flyer. So I went on and took it, and I held on to it, I want to say, for about 6 weeks. And I remember taking it home to my mom, and I was like, Mom, this lady came to my job, and she brought me this flyer. And the Lord knew, because from where I grew up in Pontiac, and that was where I was my whole life. And then when I moved out here in like 2001, and for a long time I didn't have a church home. And, you know, I wasn't going to church because my church home was up in Pontiac where I was, and I didn't have a church home, and I didn't have anywhere to go. And, you know, home Bible study for me wasn't where it was at that time, because I only knew the King James Version, which was the version that nobody understands because nobody speaks the King's English, you know. So I was not getting a lot of word in. I was not getting a lot of Jesus in, but my heart had a hole in it that it was missing something. Something was missing from my life. And for a really long time, I didn't have a church home. And when she came and gave that flyer, I held on to it for 6 weeks. And I remember my mom on Saturdays would be like, come on, we going to church tomorrow? I'm like, I am not trying to go to a church where it's just for 6 weeks. And one Sunday, I said, okay, you know what? Let's go. We can go. And when we walked into Running for Christ Ministries, it was like we had been there since the beginning. And at that time, I didn't know any history of the church. I didn't know anything. All I knew was that I had this flyer to come to this church. And, you know, we have been there ever since. And so, you know, when you play that song, there is a place for me in the body of Christ. And when Jonathan talks about, you know, we shouldn't be trying to fit into this world, it just all comes together for me today when I think about how long I've been at Running for Christ and how I feel like I could never be anywhere else, because the feeling that I have in the place where I am at Running for Christ is a place where I've never been before. So I really do feel like I have a purpose and I have a place in the body of Christ. And so it's like when God created Running for Christ Ministries, he knew that I was going to have a place. And so I'm just really thankful, sorry, for Running for Christ Ministries and everything that you guys have been to me and everything that you guys have been to my family. And I know other people have been truly, truly blessed by what Running for Christ Ministries has been to them, whether you are an actual member or if you are just a Blog Talk family member. You know, Running for Christ has done things that we'll never know, but we will all have treasure in heaven for it. So I'm just really thankful. And if Pastor Isaac said what he said, I wouldn't be crying. So let me get myself together and do these announcements. I did not mean to get emotional. Sorry about that. Okay, yes. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Of course, all the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tune in to our Sunday morning worship service here on Blog Talk Radio. And for the last Sunday of this month, Of course, we say happy anniversary, 18th anniversary, of course, the Run for Christ Ministry, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. The Lord has truly kept his promises, and he has been faithful 18 years later. He is still working in us and through us to continue to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so we continue to praise God for all that he has done for us at Run for Christ Ministries. It was a wonderful month of celebration and praise. And man, we have had awesome services, awesome sermons. I quit a couple times this month, both Saturdays and Sundays. Yesterday, I felt like I could just go home to be with Jesus after after Janine's sermon, because when I tell you her sermon was off the chain, it was off the chain. So if you did not hear yesterday's sermon, please, please go back and listen to it. It was absolutely amazing. So, of course, we always want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O. Oh, excuse me, y'all, I'm all snotty nose over here. Listen, Pastor Janice Tate. Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, who did double duty today. Pastor Terrence Tate, Pastor Janine Folks, Minister John McFall. We're so thankful for all of them. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." And we thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for being that messenger of good news today, teaching and preaching the word of God to not just us at Run for Christ, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Amen. So we thank you. Bible reading class, as you know, is on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deaconess Kathy will be teaching 2 Kings chapters 14 through 18. The questions have been emailed, excuse me, and they are available online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, as you did here, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, who is Pastor O's brother, has his own hour on Blog Talk Radio, teaching and preaching in his series Training Day. It's every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Set yourself a reminder to go off for you each week, a recurring reminder to tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen. I used to call him the waterfall. He is so full, and you're talking about water that's just flowing and flowing and flowing because he's so full of knowledge and wisdom and the word of God. And so you will really be doing yourself a wonderful thing and blessing your life by listening to Training Day every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen. Amen. So all of Pastor O's books are $5 off. Okay. I know it wasn't until April 30th, but I feel like I saw something that said until September. Don't quote me. Pastor will correct me. I'm not sure, but nevertheless, they're $5 off right now. We love coupons, so take advantage of that discount, buying for your kids, excuse me, family members, you know, who may not know the Lord, friends, people in your community, obviously yourself, just whoever the Lord leads you to. Share these books with them and bless their lives as well as your life. Amen. So please visit PastorGMO.com. That's PastorGMO.com. That's Pastor O's website, to make your purchase. Amen? Amen. Also, on the fourth Wednesday of every month, from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O and anyone else who wants to join in, will be out at the bus stop in front of Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles, lunches, you know, having conversations with people, etc. So if you're able to make it out, excuse me, please do so. Again, it's the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Minister Shelley is very punctual, so be on time. If you're going to be there on time. Amen? Amen. As a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just go to rfcm.org, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all the classes and services, again, for free. Like Pastor said before, 24/7, all right? So make sure to share these classes and services with others. Now, if I go someplace and get something to eat and I have the best meal I'm going to tell people, oh, my God, you should go to that restaurant. I have this bomb food, and you should go because your food probably going to be bomb, too. So we share those things with people. So we need to make sure that if we hear a service, we hear a sermon, the word of God is bomb to us, we should be sharing that with others. Amen? Amen. So as previously stated, for the entire month of April, Run for Christ Ministries has been celebrating 18 years of teaching, learning, and doing. excuse me. We know that during this pandemic, our members and friends don't have as much as they normally would, you know, but we are asking only for $1 for each year or whatever the Lord Jesus leads you to. So that will be $18 if you're doing $1 for each year or whatever the Lord leads you to. And for those who can't financially give, that's all right. Please remember to keep us lifted in prayer. Amen. Amen. So thank you from the Run for Christ Ministries family. So with that, if you would like to bless us here at RFCM with a free will love offering, or if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings, of course, go to the church website, rfcm.org. You'll find all the info you need there. We want to thank everyone that faithfully gives to us, even though we're not physically present in the building. And you know, because of your continuous support, we've already been able to make our first installment to all of the outreach ministries that we support, Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Covenant House, Detroit Rescue Mission, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God. Amen. We know that these ministries do a lot all throughout in different variations. We know that Bondage Breaker is Minister Janice's mission and ministry over in Kenya. You know, so we have a lot of things that we do. So we're so thankful for all those who give and continue to give to us so that we're able to continue to pour out into these ministries and help them. So we praise God for you. God bless you and thank you. And for more info on our outreach, please go, of course, to our church website, rfcm.org. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, did double duty, which was Pastor Jonathan, of course, go to our church website, again, rfcm.org. Click on offerings, and you'll be able to give for him. Just notate who the offering is for, and it will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen? Amen. So we all know that prayer is simply talking to God, right? And it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. No thing. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We have been commanded to seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised he will be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We ask that you pray for those who are sick, shut in, one another, of course yourself, all of our kids, our nation, our world, our leaders, everybody who has wanted to work from home in some capacity with this pandemic, but who have not had the ability or, dare I say, the luxury of being able to, you know, work from home. Those who have been, you know, the medical field and grocery store workers and food delivery, you know, drivers and all types of things like that. Just keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen. Of course, the many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. Amen. Special prayers, of course, go out to all of our wonderful mothers that Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Brother Tyrone Hamilton, Pastor John Mack, and Lord have mercy, Dr. Nico Gaston, who did altar call from her hospital bed this morning. Pastor said, you talk about faith in the hospital, still doing altar call. Praise God. So we are keeping all of them lifted up in prayer. Amen. Now pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your crib, your household, Judea, your community, you know, the places where you go all the time, Samaria, outside of your comfort zone, to places where you wouldn't normally go, but you kind of went over there because they had, you know, something cute. So you're like, okay, I'm going over there. And to the ends of the earth. Now, places that you never thought you'd go, never thought existed. You're like, nah, if I had a free trip over there, I wouldn't go. Well, you know what? They need the word of God, too. And it's our job to spread the good gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen. So 1 Samuel 10:22 reads, Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. Now, we know it was actual literal sheep back in that day. But in today's day, what do you offer up to God in place of your obedience to him? Is it your job? Is it your family? You know, maybe kids, your social life, social media, money, whatever it is. That's your sheep in today's time. So if God asks you to plant a seed, then plant it because you're being obedient. If he asks you to water it, then water it because that's you being obedient. Whatever you have to give up to do what God asks is nothing in comparison to the blessings that you will receive by being obedient. Amen? Amen. So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when you're sad or brokenhearted over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or with what you see, you know, hear and read about every day going on all over the world, use these scriptures as well as many others, basically the entire word of God, to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers at all times. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, and love and peace upon you. Amen. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or things, even though we love that. And a smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. Amen. And to our Running for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but we are and always have been together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know without a doubt that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ have come together this morning. So we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. Amen. So, of course, you know that I have a devotional for you. And it says, Developing Patience by Dr. Charles Stanley. So James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen. So it reads, when people confide to me that they are praying for patience, I often ask what else they're doing to acquire a calm and gentle heart. Patience isn't so much something believers receive as it is an attribute that they develop over time and through experience. Think of patience as a muscle that you have to use in order to see it build. To that end, believers should recognize difficulty as an opportunity to flex their patience. The human instinct is to cry out to God in bewilderment when tribulation comes knocking. We blame, we resist, we complain. What we don't do is say, thank you, Father. It's time to grow in patience. People aren't trained to think that way, but according to the Bible, that is exactly how Christians are to respond. James tells us to consider trials as a joy. But we often fail at this, don't we? Humanly speaking, praising the Lord for tribulation is completely unnatural. However, doing so begins to make sense to believers when they cling to God's promise that good comes from hardship. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We are not waiting on the Lord in vain. We can praise him for the solution he will bring, the lives he will change, or the spiritual fruit he will develop in us. Accepting hardship as a means of growth is a radical concept in this world. Even more extreme is the believer who praises the Lord for this. But God's followers have cause to rejoice. Tribulation increases our patience so that we can stand firm on his promises and await his good timing. So as a final thought, I ask that this week you consider any trials that come your way as an opportunity to be joyful. That's not usually how we respond to negative things that happen from day to day in our lives, but make it a focal point to have a joyful disposition when the storms of life come, trusting in the Lord that he will do exactly what he did in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, when he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements.
Okay, Crystal. Oh, ooh, let me know. Anyway, amen. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Don't make me cry no more. I was good.
No,
I was good.
That was your fault. I'm like, that's
and I couldn't even say
I'm
that.
Good God. I'm like, you start crying when you talk about Cat. I'm like, okay, don't take me time to recover. So then I recovered, and then, you know, it was just a disaster from there.
It was just so, you know, my mind went right back to the day that we actually talked, and I never forget the words that she said, so it just, you know, them kind of things hit me. But there was man tears. I was
man
crying.
Oh, for sure. Super
tough
tears.
Strong man
crying. Yeah, you just sounded like you was crying, but it wasn't no real tears.
No, the tears was coming out like little baby pebbles, you know, it was like
rocks.
That's they
all.
Was coming out, you
drops.
Know, there wasn't even water no more. I was
it wasn't
man
nothing.
Tears.
Yeah. It wasn't nothing.
Tears of joy. Thank you, baby Holy Ghost. Tears
Amen.
Of joy.
Amen.
It was joy,
Amen.
Joy,
that's
joy
right.
Bells started coming out my soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. Love you. Be
blessed. You're welcome. Love you, too.
Tell Mir I said, hey.
I sure will.
And happy birthday to Pops.
I know, right? 75, and he won't let me do nothing for him. I can't. Oh, Jesus. Pray, church. Praise God. He is totally independent, but won't let me do nothing. I'm like, Daddy, I ain't been to the doctor since 1975, and I wasn't even born.
Hallelujah.
So pray, church, pray.
Trying to break my record.
Okay. The man.
All right, Crystal, let me get this preacher back in here.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Preacher, I want to thank you for doubling up today, double duty. Probably didn't realize it until, hey, wait a minute. But it was one of them moments. But thank you for coming through. I don't know how it works out, but you always end up closing out the anniversary. And thank you for everything that you said about Running for Christ Ministries. And, again, Running for Christ Ministries is a compilation of of God's people. He just brought them out of everywhere, Pontiac, you know, and everywhere, and put them all together in this one place. And we doing that thing.
Yes, indeed. As always, Pastor O, appreciate you. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the guidance and the leadership. You know, it's been literally hands-on, and I appreciate it, you know, and the support and working with the finance committee and, I mean, just everybody, man. It's just been an awesome ride, and I'm thankful to be on it, you know. So
we're glad to have you on it. I was so glad that morning you walked in that door. Amen. I think you got a job.
Like, we got to work it.
Remind me of Sharon. Well, she said, I just came to worship. And Janice said, I just came to visit. I'm like, well, you know.
Y'all came to work.
You look like a blessing to me.
Right. But as the word says, you know, we know the truth, so just speak it and fellowship with Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother preacher. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Pastor O.
Amen. Tell them boys, I said, hey, do it up. They young. Nah, they can take a whoop.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, brother.
All right, man.
Amen. Hey, before I close out, I want to send a big giant shout out to the people who, you know, listen to us. We thank God for everybody all across the United States. You know, that's where we're super big at. But I want to shout out to the folks in Canada, North and South Sudan and Africa. I want to shout out the folks in Brazil and the Philippines and, amen, Bulgaria, Turkey, India, the Republic of Congo, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Bulgaria, I already said that, Switzerland, and, of course, everybody over in the UK. We thank God for each and every one of you. You know, Running for Christ Ministries didn't set out to reach all these different places. It was supposed to be for members of Running for Christ who couldn't make it out to Bible class because they had busy lives. So the Lord set up Blog Talk Radio so they could go at their pleasure. They could just come home because all this is archived and saved forever. So you just click play and you're in Bible class right in the comfort of your own home. He was more concerned that people get taught more so than they sit up in your face and you actually see them. Because if they have questions, they know how to get in touch with me. I'm accessible all the time, 24/7, 365. Amen. Amen. Today, I want to especially thank Sister Kathy, Deaconess Clyburn. She is the one who puts all these folks together, even all the way down there in Texas, laying by the lake, making me jealous. Amen. But anyway, she laying down there by the lake and just relaxing and kicking back. Now, that's how you take a vacation. You vacate everything to make you crazy, and you restore, amen, and come back then. Thank God for John T. and Nico Gaston in the hospital doing altar call. Now, if that ain't faith, I'm telling you, if my toe hurt, I'm like, Jesus, I can't perform. She in the hospital, amen, doing altar call. That is impressive. Hey, that's Paul and Silas sitting in the Philippian jail singing praise to God at midnight. And I want to thank all of RSCM at large for 18 years of coming alongside me to help me do what Jesus wants Running for Christ to do. And we're doing that because of you. And so Jesus knows I give thanks to him for you. Amen. Every single day. Want to send a big birthday shout out to Minister Lachelle Anderson. She is the president of First Fruit Living Ministries. We'll be out there with them on Wednesday giving out Bibles and leading people to Christ and restoring people back to Christ. So she's having her birthday this Wednesday, and we'll be at work doing the Lord's work on Wednesday on her birthday. That's how you do it. Amen. Amen. Remember, I think the last song I'm going to play going to cap off Pastor Jonathan Tate's his teaching in Sunday school and his preaching. And remember this for the rest of the week. Remember, every day, wake up and say to the Lord, repeat this after me. Say, Lord, make me a living, visible, verbal manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. And the church said, amen. It's a big fight, y'all.
Yep.
And we already won.
Yep. Now he's trying to do me a favor. Everybody. Everybody clap your hands right here. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why we sing, yeah.
Keep up.